I think we are.
She just, I went up.
If we can recommence our meeting, we've been working on this during the course of the day, taking a little bit longer, but we hopefully have this in pretty good shape. Members, we have in front of us the proposed five articles. You don't have it? Yeah, I think so. And keep in mind, we had Article 5, which is attached to Article 4. So, you know, I think we have, staff has been working throughout the day, Mr. Hansen, Ms. Kaplan, along with everybody else, to put this thing in order so that we can hopefully take care of it and get it to the reviser. So my suggestion is, you know, kind of working backwards, we go to Article 5, and members might recall that this is the this better. This is why we need a new Capitol building, so...
You want a new building now?
Well, no, just the renovations. Members might recall that Article 5 are the general provisions for all the funds. I had moved a reconsideration, which had passed, and there had been some language excluded from the proposed draft, which we didn't come across until last night, but that was the reason for the reconsideration, and again, that motion had passed. So, Representative Erdl, would you like to move adoption of Article 5 again?
Mr. Chair.
Well, I thought we'd move to have the article in front of us and then have a discussion of the language.
Okay.
I
wasn't tracking as well as I should be, so I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of Article 5.
Okay, so we've got Article 5 in front of us again. Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, and I know that we opened it because of some language regarding eminent domain that Senator Senjum had put in the bill on the floor, and I have had the opportunity to speak with Senator Senjum, and I know that he was talking to some folks.
Senator Fischbach, I apologize for interrupting.
I think it's R-105. In the side-by-side, I think.
Yeah. So we're talking about the language on R-105, Senate language at the bottom of the page, 77, line 12. So, Senator Fischbach.
And just if everybody gets to it, it references the fact that you can't use, or the language would, if adopted, would say that you can't use legacy dollars for eminent domain. I don't know. I believe the bill was introduced in the House. I don't know what ended up happening to it. I'm not 100% sure it didn't get a hearing.
Got a hearing.
It did? Okay, and then it failed in committee is what I'm is, okay. And I'm not going to be offering the amendment to put back in, just so that everybody knows. But I did want to just say that Senator Senjum felt very strongly about it. I know there was an issue in his area. I was approached by at least one lobbyist today, and Senator Stumpf, I know, talked to them, too. I don't know if they talked to other people. But, you know, there was some really specific concerns that they had about land that they could not find clear title to or the owner of and things like that, that they may have to use eminent domain on it. But as I discussed it with Senator Senjum, we both thought possibly next year we could take a look at that. But I think we both do feel strongly about the fact that we shouldn't be using these dollars for eminent domain. That's not the way we should be doing things, because in the end, in some of those special cases where they can't find an owner or something like that, or a clear title, you know, maybe they have to, and we can put together some language next year for it. But I think that we both feel very strongly about the fact that we shouldn't be using the dollars to what amounts to a taking. Whether someone gets paid or not, it's still, you know, eminent domain is not something that is generally done unless the seller is not willing. So, but I just wanted to mention that, and I won't, like I said, I won't be offering the amendment, but we'll be pursuing it.
Representative Law.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the House, our committee did hear this, and I'm certainly sympathetic to some of the opinions that you have on this and that Senator Senjum had, Senator Fischbach. But maybe there are things that he looked at for next year. What the interesting result of our questioning at that committee was that no one could come up with any evidence or any occasion where legacy funding had been used in eminent domain. I mean, it's not been used for that purpose. But still it is, you know, we don't like to see takings. This is something that we can examine, and maybe there is a way to look at it next year.
Well, and Mr. Chair, Representative Erdahl, just as a follow-up, I got the impression that from the lobbyists today, and I can't say for sure, but I got the impression that it had been, because they were certainly trying to protect it, and there were some special exception cases she was talking about, in one of them where they couldn't find an owner. They couldn't find a clear title or who owned it, and, you know, so we won't argue it out here or have that discussion right now because I'm not offering the amendment, but I got the impression today that they have, and those special exceptions we can possibly write some language for, but I think that everybody feels you shouldn't be using the money for a taking.
Okay, well, Senator Fischbach, appreciate your comments, and I certainly have learned, you know, I've been around the place for a while, but certainly the work with the legacy amendment has reinforced for myself, you know, some of the difficulties with the land acquisition, you know, whether it be by eminent domain or otherwise, and it's possible that you know, Senator Marty's committee or as the policy committee, you know, might maybe the counterpart in the House might look in a significant way at what's happening with some of this land acquisition for public purposes. So I appreciate your offering the perspective, and certainly Senator Senjum did the same on the floor of the Senate. So is there further discussion on Article 5? If not, we have Representative Erdahl's motion on adoption of Article 5. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Members, I would suggest that we move to Article 4, which should be fairly simple. Representative Erdahl moves adoption of Article 4.
All I have to move is the Section 12. Did we already do Article 4?
Well, we put a hold on Article 4 because we set aside Section 12.
Well, fine. I'll move Article 4.
Okay, so Representative Erdahl has moved adoption of Article 4. And just so members recall, Section 12 was put on hold for a couple of reasons. And so we had adopted the rest of the article, not that particular section. But I think right now there's nothing proposed by way of change.
in Section 12. So we don't need to do anything separately with that. Representative Erdahl moves adoption of Article 4. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Then I think we had adopted Article 3, I believe. We didn't have to do any further work with that. I would suggest probably the bulk of discussion we'll have tonight will be on Article 2, the clean water section. And so I would suggest that we might take a look at Article 1, which is the Outdoor Heritage Fund. And Representative Erdahl, excuse me for a second, what do we have? There was a significant issue of difference in Article 1, and in the proposed draft, what had been in the original bill, I think in the wetlands section, there...
It was under 4.
Oh, I'm sorry, it was under... which line was it in the original spreadsheet? Yeah, it's on the spreadsheet, but I think members know what I'm talking about, that there was the proposed White Earth acquisition.
It's on 19.
Ms. Kaplan put out in the original spreadsheet, it was line 19, protecting forest wildlife habitat in the Wild Rice River watershed. It was an appropriation as part of the council recommendations to the DNR of $2,188 for acquisition of the land. And I think, you know, I understand that this has been a matter of some concern on the part of House members. The Senate has historically not made changes in the recommendations for the Outdoor Heritage Council. It struck me that if we were not going to go ahead with White Earth, it also suggests this has been what I suggest has also been done in consultation with the governor's office, that we allow that money to fall to the bottom line and maintain the appropriation for, I think it was, line 49 under the wetlands at the original appropriated amount of, a recommended amount of $2,130. But I do think... Senator Stumpf, you indicated that...
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move that that on R7, that lines 7.30 to 8.8.
Mr. Chair, could you repeat it? Because it is difficult to hear.
I'm sorry. Senator Stumpf.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move... on R7, lines 7.30 to 8.8.
And members, as I mentioned, the Senate, over the several years, the legacy amendment, both under my chairmanship of the subcommittee and Senator Engelbertson's chairmanship of the full committee, we have presented the entirety of the recommendations from the Outdoor Heritage Council, and Senator Stump's motion allows for that. So I think we know the issue. Is there further discussion on Senator Stump's motion?
Well, Mr. Chair,
Senator Fish,
can
Brown?
I just be sure that I'm understanding? There is nothing right now in this proposed Article 1 regarding this, or am I missing it? And then this is the language from R7 is going to be placed in.
Yeah, Senator Stumpf is moving reinstatement.
Yeah.
In the draft, it is not there. And obviously, under the rules of the conference committee, you need 3 votes from each side. So whether it's in the draft or not, you would need the votes. So Senator Stumpf is moving reinstatement of the White Earth proposal as recommended by the Outdoor Heritage Council, and have that placed back into the draft. Is there further discussion on that motion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay, motion fails. And members, the draft again would simply allow that that money, the $2,188, to go to the bottom line. In most of the funds, not Article 4, but in the other funds, we leave some balance on the bottom line. This would simply be added to that, and we'll see where things go with the Outdoor Heritage Council. I think in terms of membership on this committee, Representative McNamara, and I think is on it, and of the 10 of us. So Representative McNamara, you know, depending on what further discussion there is within Lessard Sams, maybe that'll be revisited next year. So with that motion, is there further discussion on Representative Erdahl's motion to adopt Article 1 of the proposed draft?
I have an oral amendment that I would like to do. On page 38, line 38.12, after revenue, comma, include the Association of Minnesota Counties and the Minnesota Association of Townships, comma. Say it again. After revenue, comma, on 38.12, the Association of Minnesota Counties and the Minnesota Association of Townships, comma.
Mr. Knopf, do you have the language?
Mr. Chair, I do.
Okay. Senator Scalzi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering, is there a reason why League of Minnesota Cities is not included with that? Maybe you could explain that.
Because, Mr. Chairman, Representative Scalzi, because they didn't ask to be? Maybe they aren't aware of this. Counties and townships asked to be included, saying that they had the data that would help with this. And I don't know. I was not excluding the cities, but no one approached me from the.
And I'll just indicate to Senators, Representative Erdahl spoke to me about this previously, and it seemed to be not unreasonable language. So is there.
I don't think cities have much.
So I don't. Is there further discussion on Representative Erdahl's motion?
Mr. Chair, I thought I remembered. Thank you. Cities aren't eligible, is why they're not included.
Okay. Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for that clarification. So, on Representative Erdahl's motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Is there further discussion on Representative Erdahl's motion that Article 1 of the proposed draft be adopted? If there's no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Then, members, we have one article left, and that's Article 2. And I would ask members to pay particular attention to this article. This has been, to say the least, a work in progress, and has been the reason from when we adjourned last night or this morning, whenever it was, that we didn't come back until, you know, this evening. And let me explain to, I think everybody is aware, but let me make sure everybody understands. There's been a lot of discussion about the proposed buffer language. Certainly a matter of great support in the conservation community, and I think, to be fair, a proposal that has raised some concerns in the farm and agricultural communities. Coming from a district that doesn't have any farms, and at least I think the farmhouses in my district were last used around the turn of the 20th century, it's not an issue that has impacted my district. So I understand, though, that there's been a great deal of concern. There have been members, I think particularly Representative Torkelson, who's been very, very involved in the promulgation of the buffer language. The decision was that this committee would carry the proposed buffer allocation, the financial allocation. The language itself would be carried in the Environment Conference Committee. But the proposal is $22 million. And I think members recall that in going through the spreadsheet earlier, there was placeholder language in the bill for the buffer language, but nowhere near the amount that was required of the $22 million. Now, obviously, members, what that has meant for us is that with the clean water recommendations for Article 2, it ends up turning this a little bit upside down. And over the course of the day, Representative Torkelson, and I'm not sure who else, staff has been involved, and I kind of stayed on top of it, have made a number of changes. And so what becomes a little bit difficult, and members should understand as well as people in the audience, is that, whereas I mentioned previously, that the clean water section has been, to be fair, a combination of recommendations from the Clean Water Council, recommendations from the agencies, to a lesser extent, several other issues. This takes a big chunk out of the clean water recommendations, but it's been a matter of the highest priority for the governor. He announced it toward the end of January, and at the conservation meeting in Brooklyn Center, and the several hundred people there reacted very, very favorably. And it's been an issue throughout the session. So I think it's, I hope it's fair to state that what's being presented in the last iteration of the spreadsheet, makes that change, but does so with making other changes. So I guess what I'm going to suggest is, I don't know, Mr. Knopf, maybe you might just lead a brief discussion as to changes made from the spreadsheet we saw earlier today, last night, to what we have in front of us to fit the buffer proposal in. And I know that there, I think one of the commissioners, I don't know if it's Commissioner Linkstein, wants to offer some testimony to the committee as well.
Mr. Chair, you want me just to do it from right here? This
is sure, that's fine. Is that okay with House members? Or I first served in the Senate. I served in the Tax Committee, but never got far enough to be on the Conference Committee. So I don't know how this works. But if House members are comfortable with listening to Mr. Knopf behind you, Mr. Knopf.
Well, Mr. Chair, there were a number of changes made to fit it in. If you want to find the language, you'll find it on the document, the draft document in front of you on page 16, 16.13. You'll see the language, the $11 million per year, and you can see that from the appropriation, each district would receive increases base funding of $100,000 per year, and then beyond that, it's available for matching grants. And then you'll also see a sentence. I want to make sure that we pointed this out on 16.31 to 16.33. The second year appropriation cancels if new buffer requirements are not enacted in 2015. And that's just if something were to happen in the other bill that those would not become enacted. And so I want to point that out. And there were a number of changes in, you know, made, especially I think Representative Torkelson could talk about this too, with the changes that were made in Bowser. I mean, you know, there is some money that there's a reduction in compared to the Senate budget in ag and some other areas. But of course, that actually is higher in the House side for this Forever Green. And then there was also, well, the Senate budget had $500,000 for the ag water quality certification. This is just a quarter of a. Excuse me. The Senate had $5 million in that, and this would be $22,500,000. So you see that there are some changes there, and then also, but you see in Bowser the grants to watershed districts with multi-year plans is significantly below where the House was, and then you'll also see that the surface and drinking water protection restoration grants, although still substantial at a little over $20 million, is quite a bit below where the House and Senate were, but not as much below the governor. The governor had less than that, and that's and then the you'll see that on the riparian easements, the language for, let me get this, it was riparian buffer permanent easements, the $15 million that was in the council recs, was 12 in the governor, and 20 in the House, 15 in the Senate. You'll see that's dramatically reduced to 9.75 million, and then that fits in the House had brought in $1 million for soil and water conservation districts, so this would be $21 million above that, whereas for the Senate it's the entire $22 million for this to fit that in. I don't know, Mr. Chair, if you wanted me to go over any more than that.
Mr. Knopf, I think it offers a pretty good overview, but Representative Torkelson, is there anything you would wish to add from the work you've done?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just as Mr. Knopf has done a nice job of outlining the changes that were made, I would just state that it actually pained me greatly to make these changes. I've been a strong supporter of the Clean Water Council's recommendations. I've been on the council since its inception and always defended them, and so it was with some consternation that I had to make these changes, but that was the target I was given as such. I did keep those changes within the Bowser section of the Clean Water Bill because I felt that was appropriate, and that much of those grants that were where I took the money were the funds that end up going into SWCD's hands anyway. So it's money going to the same places but being repurposed, I guess, is the way I would put it. Mr. Knopf noted that the second year of the appropriation would be canceled if we do not get buffer language into law this year, and then that could be reapportioned to kind of refill those pots should we not get this legislative initiative passed. Where it's still a work in progress of sorts, but as you noted, Mr. Chair, it's received a great deal of attention in the last few months, and many of us have been working very hard to try and come to a consensus on the issue.
So I appreciate those comments, Representative Torkelson, and certainly also the work that you put in today to help put this bill in shape for presentation tonight. Senator Scalzi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I did want to add as well, working with Representative Torkelson, we both serve on the Clean Water Council, and we both serve as co-chairs of the Legislative Water Commission. And we work very closely together, and we both agree that we would really like to hold harmless the Clean Water Council recommendations. We've tried very hard to do that. I understand that this year is very different for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons is that this is the first year that we really had a bill to work from, and so this is the first year that we've taken a more formal approach, as we have in the future with the Outdoor Heritage Council. And I appreciate the work that Representative Torkelson has done because he's the chief author in the House on the buffer bill. So there's lots of moving parts this year, and I thank you for your indulgence to just be able to give a few remarks in this regard. The Clean Water Council is not that different from the Outdoor Heritage Council in the fact that the voting members are generally citizens that serve, and they represent many different areas. There's representation from fishing organizations, representation from hunting organizations, Farmers Union, Conservation Minnesota. It's a wide variety of representatives at the Clean Water Council, and they take very seriously their work, as does the Outdoor Heritage Council, in that they begin their work, I believe, in August and September. They work through the end of the year, and then they work to prepare a budget in January when the legislature meets. And I think that we really, both Representative Torkelson and I, share the fact that it does pain us to do this, to change their recommendations. I've been speaking with the vice chair, which is Jean Merriam, a former a chair like you, Senator Cohen, and I've been speaking with Patrick Flowers. So they're aware of what's happening this year. They're aware of some of the reasons. And I just would like to state on the record that I'm hopeful that in the years to come that we would treat them with the same respect that we have in the past with the Outdoor Heritage Council and accept their recommendations in a more formal fashion. So thank you for that.
And thank you, Senator Scalzi. And it has been fun to catch up with Senator Merriam, who I will just point out, I exceeded him as chairman of the Senate Finance Committee the first day of the session this year. I mentioned that to Senator Merriam, and he didn't say much. Senator Scalzi has been a very compelling advocate for these issues in the Senate, as has Representative Torkelson in the House, I'm sure. So appreciate the comments from both of you and the work that you've done in helping to put this thing in shape for presentation tonight. I would just comment again that I recognize that the remixture of this proposed appropriations has been difficult. I know in the promulgation of the legacy amendment, which started in the Senate Finance Committee in 2005-06-07, it's where the amendment was put together primarily. The conservation piece was certainly widely supported, and I guess, however, I didn't have the sense as to how we would try to integrate some of the agency proposals along with the Clean Water Council, and it's not a perfect mix. This makes it a little bit different. I'm hoping that we can come up with buffer language in the Environment Conference Committee that will allow the utilization of this appropriation and meet with the purpose, the assumed purpose. Further discussion on what has what's proposed. I don't know. There was one request for testimony, which I guess was they decided they didn't have to testify. I don't know if they're not necessarily looking for testimony to my, but because I think this is a fairly significant change. I don't know if there's anybody who wishes testimony. I don't see anybody rushing up to the table. The only other thing I would suggest, I don't know, do other committee members have any comments, thoughts?
I did have one thing.
Senator Scalzi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The one request that did not come, it's in your draft on page 26. The one request that did not come from the Clean Water Council was the changing of the voting members of the council. As you can see on page 26 on your draft, it shows the membership, and the Clean Water Council did not forward the recommendation to remove the representative from the University of Minnesota and the Metropolitan Council from voting membership on the Clean Water Council. That's a change from their recommendation. So, Mr. Chair, I would move that we delete the changes in Section 16, which we see on page 26, related to the voting membership. And I'm presenting that recommendation presenting that amendment on behalf of the Clean Water Council's recommendations. They have not taken that position at this point. And they may at a future point, and at that point, we should take action at their direction.
We have Senator Scalzi's motion in front of us. Is there further discussion, Representative Torkelson?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Scalzi, for those remarks. This is my initiative. I've served on the council, like I said, since its inception. The council was actually formed before the Clean Water Act even before the Legacy Act even passed. I have just a couple of reasons, and I'll try to be very brief, Mr. Chair, behind this. Both the University of Minnesota and the Met Council have received direct appropriations of clean water funds. And so there is the potential for a conflict of interest. The council does operate very effectively in properly noticing conflicts of interest. It's never been a problem at the council. I'm not saying that at all. But there is that, you know, a perception that a direct recipient has a vote. I would note that the legislative members of the council are non-voting members, and currently all of the agency members of the council are also non-voting members. And I see these two members, the University of Minnesota and the Met Council, they to me look more like an agency-type participant rather than the other organizations that are represented in the council. I would also note that the council over the years has developed a kind of a sister organization, the Interagency Working Group, that involves the non-voting agency members of the council. And both the University of Minnesota and the Met Council do have seats on that Interagency Working Group. So they really, and when it comes to budget recommendations, et cetera, they're really kind of getting two bites at the apple, in my opinion. And that is my logic behind this resolution or this initiative in the bill. And I would urge folks to vote no on Senator Scalzi's motion.
Okay, thank you. So Senator Scalzi has moved removal of all of Section 16.
The changes in Section 16.
Yes. The proposed changes. Is there further discussion on the motion? If Representative Erdahl.
We maybe need a couple minute recess.
Sure. All right, let's recess for a couple of minutes and. Okay, if we can reconvene, we have Senator Scalzi's motion in front of us. Is there further discussion on the motion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion fails. I would like to ask if someone might make a motion on my behalf. Representative Erdahl, let me just indicate on line 108, there is an appropriation. It's titled Perennial and Cover Crop Research to the Department of Agriculture. This is something I've worked on. It's the Forever Green Initiative. And in the mixture of what took place, this appropriation, which last year in the supplemental finance bill was appropriated at $1 million for the second year of the biennium, what we had in the original draft was $1 million for each year of this next biennium. But in the back and forth, it was reduced to $500,000. What I would like to suggest, if it would meet with the committee's approval, I've talked to Representative Torkelson about this, is to simply move the $500,000 for fiscal year 17 into fiscal year 16 and provide $1 million for fiscal year 16. And then I would propose I live to fight another day in next year's supplemental finance bill. And within the draft, it's on page 4, line 4.24, and would maybe Mr. Knopf would suggest the appropriate language for the draft.
We'll make that motion in appropriate language.
Okay. Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair, on 4.24, you would delete the first 500 and insert 1 million, and then you would delete everything after a year and delete everything before 4 on line 4.25 and insert the word is. So when you're done, it would read $1 million the first year is for grants to the Board of Regents University to fund for Evergreen. I don't have to read the rest. So.
Representative Erdahl?
I will move that.
All right. I appreciate that. So on Representative Erdahl's motion, all those in favor signify.
Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. We did agree to this in advance of the committee meeting. I would just note that we are at twice a 100% increase over the House position.
I appreciate that, and the courtesy of the House is noted. Thank you. So on Representative Erdahl's motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And members, we have Article 1 in front of us. Is there further discussion on Article 1? I'm sorry, Article 2 I meant. Is there further discussion on Article 2? If not, Representative Erdahl moves the adoption of Article 2 as amended. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Members, we've adopted all articles now. There was some mention of the possibility of another article, which apparently is not going to happen. I know I just want to make it clear to members it was going to be an interesting article, but not in this bill. So if there's no further discussion, Representative Erdahl moves adoption of the conference committee report and including all articles and spreadsheets on House File 303 and directs the staff to make any needed technical corrections to the bill. Is there further discussion on that motion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Members, thank you very much. A particular thanks to Senator Sieben for filling in for me this past week when I was at the governor's residence. And members and Representative Erdahl, thank you very much. And we are adjourned.
I'd like to thank everybody, too, and suggest that you do something about these squeaky chairs here.
Yeah.